Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Voices for Justice. I'm your host, Michelle Bart, and today we are honored to have friend and ally against violence and human trafficking. With us today, United States Senator Ron Wyden will be here shortly. Our phone lines are open to listen to today's show, but any questions, please post them in our chat room. Log on to blogtalkradio.com/NWCAVE and click today's show. For those wanting to listen to the show live, en route, wherever you may be going, dial into 917-932-8962. But again, any questions, please post them in the chat room. We welcome Senator Wyden with us today. Senator, are you with us?
I sure am, Michelle. Great to talk with you. Glad you're doing the show.
Oh, thank you so much, sir, and thank you for taking the time this holiday weekend to join us. You know, about 50 years ago, Dr. King had a dream, and our organization, the National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation, has a dream also, a world without violence and exploitation. What do you think Dr. King would be saying right now about the trafficking epidemic in our society?
I think Dr. King would say that in effect, what we're seeing with sex trafficking is slavery, pure and simple. It's not a life that some would choose for themselves. These young women are not criminals. They shouldn't be treated like criminals. They're victims, and like all victims, they ought to have advocates, and that's why your work is so important in terms of trying to help keep these victims off the streets, away from those who want to exploit them. And law enforcement's in a position to get them to testify against the pimps. And that's what it's going to take to get these pimps off the streets.
You know, in our documentary, you had a role in our documentary, Your American Teen, and you were quoted as saying, "The time is now." Fast forward 2 years since we made that film. Do you believe the time is now, and do you believe that we're at epidemic numbers on human trafficking here in America, not to mention around the world?
Well, what we've shown in Oregon is that, you know, sex trafficking is not just, you know, going on thousands and thousands of miles away from Oregon. It's happening right now in Oregon communities. We've had a brand new study done by Portland State University, done at the request of a great advocate, our U.S. attorney for Oregon, Amanda Marshall, that really quantifies the problem. We've got numbers that show how many young girls and boys have been exploited over the last few years, and we know that number is low because most of these numbers only count those who come in contact with social service agencies. We've got victims that are just 8 years 8 years old. We know the victims are overwhelmingly female, but 16% of the children involved here have had a baby. So this is something that I just don't think can be ignored or given short shrift anymore.
I would have to second that notion. You mentioned Portland State University. Under our conference, NWCAT, a couple years back, we actually, I believe, had given a grant to Portland State University for research. I'm a huge advocate on research because there's not enough on the trafficking epidemic here in America. What do you say to the people listening that think that, you know, funding research in this kind of genre of criminal activity is not needed?
Well, I tell them that every year the criminals get to be more creative and more inventive in terms of how they want to try to exploit young women. For example, on the internet and sites like Craigslist and Backpage .com. I mean, we've seen the net be a game changer. It's given those who sell sex a certain anonymity that they didn't have before. Some pimps obviously are very sophisticated at using the internet to not only sell sex, but to lure underage girls into sex trafficking. But one thing I think we're all still trying to figure out is how we can best use the internet to catch the traffickers and protect the victims. Technology and the net can be powerful tools in this fight, but obviously the point that you and other advocates are making, we're going to need good research, good independent research like this groundbreaking study done at Portland State here recently in order to convince legislators and be advocates who are successful.
We definitely applaud their efforts because, again, you know, you get so many statistics and so many different numbers being thrown around. And then, you know, you were a keynote speaker at our conference a couple years back when the Oregonian released a front page article that human trafficking was a myth. And then most parents reading that type of an article put the guard down. Basically put the guard down and said, oh, I knew it wasn't as bad as that. Let my kids go to the mall at 10 o'clock at night. How important is media in helping all of you in the Capitol push these bills and laws through that we need in order to have a voice for justice and also to protect all of the children and the women affected by this?
Well, the way the media portrays this challenge is obviously crucial because that's how millions of Americans get their information. But now we've got hard information. We have a fresh study done by Portland State University that quantifies the problem. It shows how many young girls and boys have been exploited in the last few years. We are able to examine the connection with respect to gangs, which I've always thought was very crucial because for the gangs, sex trafficking can be less risk and higher profit than the alternative, which so often involves drugs and criminal activity that is much riskier for the criminals. So the media is crucial here, and we've got a very powerful story to tell, not the least of which is that we want to make sure the public knows how important it is to assist in these sex trafficking efforts to stop sex trafficking, because we need to make sure that the young girls and boys have a place to go where they're protected out of reach of the pimps, those who are trying to exploit them, and we're going to keep pushing hard for shelters and other ways to assist the victims.
What do you think the delay or the barrier is for organizations across the country here in the United States having difficulty opening shelters, whereas our partners abroad, shelters seem to be very successful in the demographics they may be serving. Why do you think we're so far behind the eight ball?
Law enforcement folks here in the United States tell us that the problem that they have is too often the victims just disappear back into the life they came from. You know, so often it's an intimidating experience, a frightening one. They feel that there's a chance the pimps will come back and harm their family. And then obviously, because of the absence of shelters in so many communities, there really isn't a sanctuary where the young woman, the young boy can get the counseling, get the health care, get good food so that they can get healthy and in a position to testify against the pimp and whoever's selling.
I would agree there. You know, your legislation makes it clear that young boys and girls caught up in sex trafficking should be treated as victims. And like you said, rather than the criminals that so often we see, why do you think that part of the legislation is so important to get everyone on the same page and treat all of these victims as victims?
First of all, it's a bipartisan bill. I've authored it with Senator Rob Portman, the Republican senator from Ohio, and I think it's critically important right now that a national message be sent. We've seen from law enforcement here recently there's an effort to step up the stings. I think that will be useful. But there's no question that at a time when we're seeing more and more criminals look to this market as a lucrative one where they can make bigger money with less risk, it's important to send a national message to the Congress on a bipartisan basis with the executive branch, with the Obama administration, is going to pull out all the stops to combat trafficking. My legislation has already had a hearing in the Senate Finance Committee. We're very hopeful that the Senate will mark up the bill. Marking up a bill is, in effect, advancing it through the legislative process this fall. And that's why we spent so much time this summer trying to get the word out about the legislation, why it's important, and to build bipartisan support. When you see, you know, young women and boys exploited this way, nobody's sitting around talking about Democrats and Republicans. What they're saying is we cannot allow this kind of exploitation to continue to go on in our communities in Oregon and around the country. And my hope is that if we can continue to get the word out, we'll pick up additional support in the United States Senate. We'll get this legislation moving this fall.
Let me talk a little bit about the process. Can you explain to our listeners why it's so vital when, you know, your staff sends us something to make phone calls and to do whatever we can do, you know, on our end in order to help push your, you know, your proposals and your agenda through? Can you explain to them, you know, why it's so vital and important, and more so why and how they can get involved in talking to their legislators as well?
That's a great one to quit on, Michelle, in terms of kind of summing up where we are. Political change doesn't usually start in the Capitol and then just sort of trickle down to the grassroots. Instead of trickle down, it's almost always bottoms up. And the calls that you're talking about, that folks are making in the community, the legislators, are so crucial for a very specific reason. Most members of Congress, Democrats or Republicans, don't get up in the morning and say, I want to be rotten today to those who are victimized by sex trafficking. And that obviously, and I say it that way because legislators don't get up and say, we're going to be disinterested in an important cause like this. What happens is they do get up in the morning and they've got a huge array of very important issues. Obviously, just this last weekend has highlighted the enormous concern about Syria, where there are very difficult choices. And so you have legislators with an awful lot on their plate. They're going to have to begin with foreign policy issues and Medicare and education and transportation and a host of issues. And what we're up against is making sure that this moral scourge, and I don't think there's any other way to describe sex trafficking, doesn't get lost when there are all these other issues. And I think that's why your organization is performing such a service in terms of mobilizing the community, mobilizing advocates, having advocates, you know, weigh in right now will be hugely important. And just please pass the word as one half of the bipartisan team along with Senator Rob Portman trying to pass this bill. We're going to pull out all the stops to move it this fall.
We definitely will. And I have two more questions. I know that we have to cut our time short here.
Sure.
Two more questions. One, tomorrow is Labor Day, and many folks still don't realize that forced labor is an issue in our country. Can you address a little bit about what's being done for labor trafficking in America?
We're also putting a strong focus, you know, on that. There is no question that this is growing, you know, as well. There are enormous sums of money involved in this, and there is no question that as part of this, and I think it's especially appropriate on Labor Day, advocates should really highlight it, because this also is taking place in the shadows of so many communities, and we ought to be stepping up to combat it. No better day than Labor Day to fight labor trafficking.
Couldn't agree more. And last question. We've done so much on human trafficking on Voices for Justice, and many of the times, and I'm probably going to share the audio tape one more time so that people get the chills, but Amanda Berry and others that were rescued in Cincinnati recently, or Cleveland rather, and not to mention J.C. Dugard, Elizabeth Smart, and the list goes on and on and on. How many more do you believe in your heart that, you know, we need to be looking beneath the surface of our backyard, because there are more Amanda Berries in the world trying to get help?
There's no question in my mind that a great deal of this problem is invisible. And that's why it's so important that advocates, social service agencies, and others that have deep roots in the community are constantly trying to mobilize social service agencies, law enforcement folks, and others, because these tragedies that you mentioned are all too real. And a big part of what we're up against is that much of this has been invisible in the past, and we are saying, as advocates, invisible no longer.
Exactly. Any last thoughts? I know you've got to run. Again, thank you so much for joining us on a holiday weekend. Any last thoughts or comments to our listeners?
Just to let listeners know, we're so appreciative of their advocacy. They're the ones who've given us a chance to prick the awareness and the conscience of elected officials and legislators across the country. We wouldn't be in a position to move forward without all of their good work. And if they'll just keep pushing this fall, it's going to pay off.
Thank you so much. And thanks to Tom for getting you on the call with us today. And keep up the great work. We know that you're having a voice for justice in Washington, D.C. for everyone. And we sure do appreciate it, Senator.
Your voice is making a difference, and we really appreciate all you all are doing.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful weekend.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. As we continue the show, we were speaking about Amanda Berry. I think it's only appropriate to play the call one more time, because we try to promote on Voices for Justice for all of you to, if you see something, say something. And so many of us still don't say anything when something just does not feel right. And this is a prime example of one girl's struggle to get out of a door when she found the opportunity. And she is one of our heroes, as well as Michelle Knight and all of the rest of the children out there and the women out there looking for someone to rescue them. And here's Amanda Berry's 911 call.
5:51 p.m., 59 seconds, May 62013.
Please. Help me, I'm Amanda Berry.
You need police, fire, ambulance.
I need police.
Okay, and what's going on there?
I've been kidnapped, and I've been missing for 10 years, and I'm here. I'm free now.
Okay, and what's your address?
2207 Seymour Avenue.
2207 Seymour. It looks like you're calling me from 2210.
Huh?
It looks like you're calling me from 2210.
I can't hear you.
It looks like you were calling me from 2210 Seymour.
Yeah, I'm across the street. I'm using the phone.
Okay, stay there with those neighbors. Talk to the police when they get there.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, talk to the police when they get there.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, talk to the police when they get there.
Okay, I'm on the way right now.
We're
going to
send them as soon as we get a car open.
No, I need them now before we get back.
All right, we're sending them, okay?
Okay, I mean, like,
who's the guy who went out?
His name is Ariel Castro.
All right, how old is he?
He's like 52.
All right, and
Stephen, I'm Amanda Berry. I've been on the news for the last 10 years.
Okay, I got that
with
here.
Marina.
I already. And you said, what was his name again?
Ariel Castro.
And is he white, black, or Hispanic?
I'm Hispanic.
What's he wearing?
I don't know because he's not here right now. That's
when
how
he
I
left,
got away.
When he left, what was he wearing?
Sweetheart, it's a pity. What?
Right, the police are on the way. Talk to them when they get there. Okay?
I
told you they're on the way. Talk to them when they get there, okay?
All right, okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
That call was made by Amanda Berry, a 911 call, and obviously there are more Amanda Berrys out there looking to be rescued. If you want to have a voice for justice, visit Senator Wyden's website at wyden.senate.org and see how you can partner with his office as well as many other organizations like our own to have a voice for justice and to make sure that more neighbors like the folks in Cleveland stepped up to the plate when Amanda Berry tried to get rescued and that community band together. So if you see something, say something. I want to throw out a couple links. Our website is nwcave.org. We've partnered with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. We take 25 as often as we can. Take 25 every day to keep your children safe. It's simple. Just take 25 minutes to talk with them. Visit take25.org for more information. We also have our Southwest Conference Against Trafficking conference coming up in Pomona, California, which is in Los Angeles County. Find out more to register today. You can also visit swcat.org. And we have wonderful speakers for that conference, including James and Athena Pond from Transitions, Aaron Runyon, from the Joyful Child Foundation. We have DAs to a well-known journalist who wrote Somebody's Daughter, Julian Shear, to media folks like Aroxia Carpadian from KTTV in Los Angeles, and many, many more like Marisa from Bilateral Safety Corridor Coalition. We expect over 500 people from many, many states, and we hope you'll join us again. Registration is at swcat.org. We also have our Jane Velez Mitchell Journalism Award coming up. The due date to submit any nominations is September 30th by 5 p.m. Pacific time. Visit nwcave.org and go to the press room for more information in the application. Again, hug your kids, take 25 with them, and until we meet again, all of us have that opportunity to have a voice for justice. So if you see something, say something. We're going to close early tonight with Martina McBride and The Dance by Garth Brooks, in memory to our board member and friend, Rita Burns, who lost her battle with cancer on August 7th. She was a big contributor to our efforts, our organization, and to our annual conference, which was held in Portland until recently when we're holding it in Southern California. She's donated a lot of funds, and she has been a hero among us, and we miss her. And we leave you with this song in her memory. And thanks again, and we will be back on Voices for Justice in October. Thank you so much, and have a great day.
On the memory of the dance we shared.